everything had been going well for them. They'd been seeing God answering prayers and doing many great things. But then tragedy hit. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. The way that I came up with this title, really, it was this morning. And I thought about it that the church, we're going to talk about the church being scattered. But we are, if you've never known it, we're smothered by the Holy Spirit. He comes on us, and when we need Him the most, we may not even know that He is doing a work in us, but He is. And we are covered by grace everywhere we go. Everything we do, all that we are going through, God is dealing with us in that way, that we may be scattered by what we're going through, but we're smothered by the Holy Spirit and covered by grace. And I'm glad y'all said amen a couple of times with that, because I thought that was pretty good. I worked hard on that one to get that right. Begin reading with me there in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 8 in verse 1. It says, Saul agreed with putting him to death. This is the stoning of Stephen. And on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said, and as they listened, they listened and saw the signs he was performing. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now let's go to God in prayer. Father, we've got your word, and you've laid it out clearly for us. We know that this is your word, and it's meant for us. And Father, just by your Spirit today, teach us and show us what we need to know, and speak into our lives, our hearts personally, so that we see what it is you have for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to see this morning is the tragedy. The tragedy that was there. There was, as I said, everything going well, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. You ever been something like that in life? Everything going along fine, and then all of a sudden, not. All of a sudden it's bad. Things are not good at all. You end up with this, you're wondering what's going on, what's happening. Well, when you look at the church, it says there, Saul agreed with putting him to death. But you also read up in the end of chapter 7 that Saul is the one that they laid their coats at his feet when they stoned Stephen. And Saul agreed with this, and the idea he agreed, that he heartily agreed with it. He loved what he was seeing. Stephen is now this great man of God, called in chapter 6 to be a deacon, preaching with great power, seeing God do miracles in his life, work in his life. All of a sudden, he was arrested, thrown into a trial, and before the trial was over, they were dragging him outside and had stoned him to death. And this persecution became popular just overnight. It was immediate. Because it says there in verse 1, on that day a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. My understanding is that of Jewish culture is that when you had a death, you had to bury that person within 24 hours. And so Stephen would have been, his body taken and prepared for the burial, and then put in the ground either that day or first thing the next morning. And while they were burying Stephen mourning Stephen, you had Saul and others that were going around Jerusalem now kicking in doors, dragging Christians out and throwing them in jail. It wasn't a culture like ours where you had to have due process. You actually were supposed to have, a lot of our due process came from the Bible, but they weren't going by that. They were dragging everyone, men and women, that they could find. And this wonderful church, this beautiful church that, as I said, 10,000 plus strong on the light side, was now all of a sudden scattered. And these people that had come into Jerusalem 2 years ago for the Feast of Pentecost and heard the gospel preached and believed, now they're going back to their homes. And they had a place probably to go to, but you had a lot of people who had moved to Jerusalem in their old age because they wanted to die in Jerusalem. They wanted to be buried there, and that was their hope. Grown up somewhere else, but they wanted to come back to Jerusalem, and that's where they wanted to spend their last days. But now they're being pushed out. And yet people who had grown up in Jerusalem, who are now believers in Christ, and they're being pushed out. And what you're talking about here with this idea of being scattered is the idea of a refugee. Refugees were being pushed out all over the world. They went north, south, east, and west. And they were scattered around. Many of them went into Judea in the surrounding countryside, and some of them went to Samaria, which is where no good Jewish person would want to go. Jesus had been there. The gospel had been shared there in a city there in Jerusalem, Sychar. And it's possible that Stephen went there. It says he went to a city. Some translations say the city in Samaria. So it may have been there that he went, and they began. He began preaching, and there was a great work of God in that city. Well, as we look at this, I want you to see that's the tragedy. And as we get into this, I'm going to show you that really, not just this type of a major tragedy. We're not just talking about that, but really anything you're going through in your life right now, whatever you're struggling with, it may be a sin that you're trying to overcome or a temptation that you're trying to overcome. It may be what you may look at it and think, well, it's going to sound small to other people, but it's big to me. Or it may be some major health problem, some loss that you've suffered. Whatever it is that you're dealing with fits into what we're talking about today. The church and how they responded is what I really want us to look at today. And this is how trials hit us, isn't it? They come in, we don't get any warning. They come in and seem to knock us off our feet. And then we've got to respond. We've got to deal with it and figure out what's going on and how to handle it. Well, we're going to talk about that today. How they responded, well, they were scattered. They ran away. They did what the only thing they knew to do at this point was to scatter. Have you ever been quail hunting and jump up a covey of quail? They jump up, they scatter. When we were growing up, there were a lot of quail around here. We had a lot of soybean fields and wheat fields, and there were quail all around the edges of them. And you could be walking along that field and jump up a covey of quail and not be hunting, and they would give you a heart attack. They scattered. They fluttered and they scattered. That's what the church was doing right now. They were scattering. They were going where they knew they could go to, or hoping they could go to. And it was not the apostles. It says the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. In verse 5, I believe, 6, the crowds were, let's see. It's in this passage somewhere that we just read, that the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem. Stephen was doing a great work. Philip was doing a great work, but the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem. But the thing that really stood out to me, as they went, it says there in verse 4, so those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Now, from a purely human standpoint, that was one of the dumbest things they could do. because they were leaving a trail right behind them of where they were going, and they were easy to follow. Saul went to Damascus because there were Christians that had gone that far, and there was something going on in that city with the church. They went everywhere they were going, not the apostles, not the deacons, the church. Scattered out, they went wherever they were going, preaching the word. And then we read about Philip and the work that God was doing in him. But I want you to see that Philip is the example. He's not the exception. They picked Philip out and said, this is a picture of what was going on. And God did something amazing through Philip, but God scattered seed all over the place. The one thing that's amazing about this word that's translated scattered, it is the idea of refugees being pushed out, but it was also used to describe what farmers would do as they sowed a field. They would scatter the seed. And when you scatter that seed and you spread it out, it begins to take root and grow, and you have fruit that comes from that. Satan was trying to do one thing, God was doing something else altogether different. And God was in control and knew what he was doing and what he was about. Well, this is an incredible passage to me, but turn over with me to the book of James. And there's something here that I want you to see. James chapter 1, and we're just looking at the first four verses. And let me read those verses to you. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. And let me pause there for a moment. James wrote to this same group of people we just talked about in Acts 8. He was not writing to them long after the fact, as they were being scattered, as they were going, and probably getting where they were going, many of them, James sat down and wrote this letter and sent it out to them to be followed, to follow wherever they were going, to encourage this church being scattered that was trying to get set up somewhere new, and telling them what to do. Notice, if you go through the whole book of James, you see that he's talking very much about an active church, not just someone going and trying to set up in their home and worship God quietly in their own home, but to a church that is working. But he wrote to this scattered church, the church that is dispersed abroad. And I want you to see in that something just very briefly, but very important. The Word of God is for you in whatever time you're in right now. If you're struggling with something, whatever the struggle is, the Word of God is for you. James wrote this letter with them in mind, the ones we were just talking about. God gave this book with you in mind. And it'll never change, and it will never get stale. It will never... There are books that I've read and listened to and on tape, and some of them I listened to two or three times. And after you listen to a book three or four times like that, you know everything that's about to happen. You've got it half memorized, and it's not that much fun anymore. But the Bible never gets old. It never gets stale. God works in it for you where you are right now. This is some advice coming from James, and his advice to the church. He says there in verse 2, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. There's a lot more that we can get into if we went on to the rest of this chapter. But right there in those first four verses, there's a lot for us to see. He calls it various trials. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter or experience various trials. It's the idea of multicolored. And the best picture of it, of various there, if you go into a paint store and you see all of those different shades of paint on the paint tabs that are there. And you go to the section that is white, and there's probably 50 different shades of white. And you can't see the difference in them unless you lay one on top of the other. And there's a little bit of difference there, but all those colors, all whatever you're experiencing, trials are that way, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, it's a big deal to you at the time, and this is for you. And so the difference between God's test and Satan's temptation is their intention for you. I used to hear people talk about, and I probably did the same thing, try to differentiate between Satan's trials and God's test. And they would try to make them different things. The picture here is not that they're two different things. It's that you're going through something that life has thrown at you, or Satan has thrown at you, or somebody else has done that scared you or hurt you or whatever it is, and you're going through this thing. Satan intends for you to fail. He wants you to stumble and fall, whatever it is, and it can be, he really loves it when it's a small matter, because you start thinking to yourself, if I can't handle this little thing, how am I going to handle the big things? But God intends for you to pass the test. God put you in the situation you're in, or allowed you to be in that situation, because he knows something about you that you don't know about yourself. You can get through this thing in a way that honors God. That can happen. We don't have to sin daily. We can make the right choices. We are sinners. We are going to sin, but we're not destined to fall every time we're tempted. We have the Spirit of God in us, and he gives us a way out, a way through. Well, this is incredibly important. Satan's intention is for you to fail. God's intention is for your good. But if you look at verse 3 and 4 there, we can count it joy, because we know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We try to exercise, don't we? Some of us try to, some of you try to exercise. Phrase that the right way. Not tell a lie while I'm preaching. Some of you try to exercise. And I've tried it, and it's hard, isn't it? It's either very boring, or it's very hard, or it causes soreness and pain and all those things that I don't like. And so it's not any fun. But if we do it, we learn that we can endure longer. We learn that we can hang in there. God puts us through things that are going to test our muscles and strengthen us so that we can endure. But there's something else he's doing. Let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We all lack something. We all have shortcomings. We all have failures. But God's work in you through these trials is to mature you so that you don't lack anything. So that whatever you come across, you can handle it. And you can get through it. And you can help others get through it as well. Let me show you one more thing from James. The most important word in this passage is that word consider. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Consider does not mean they're just, you think of it in this way. Consider means, actually it is translated much more often to lead, or the idea of a king, or somebody that is a governor or in charge of something. And this idea of considering means that you are going to sit down, think through whatever the situation is, and let that determination that you make about how to behave in this, let that lead you. Let that guide you. Now, that's a hard thing to do, because we want to oftentimes just react. We want to have reflexes that take place. When somebody jumps out at you and scares you, there are videos on Reels and YouTube, that kind of thing, of, they call him the Bushman, and they dress up in a suit that is like a bush. And they sit down in a pot on the street, and they look like a bush, but when people walk by, they reach out and grab them. And I don't know how the guy hasn't been laid out because everybody jumps away from him. But some people have reared back like they're going, you know, they're about to take him out and realize what was going on. They're reacting. Their reflexes are taking over. When we go through these things, what God is wanting for us to do is sit down, consider everything happening, and let what we see there and what we see Him doing, what we know is the most important thing, let that lead what we do in response to this. The last thing I want to show you, three questions during trials. The first two are right here. When you're going through trials, what we're talking about there in considering it is sitting down and saying, what is happening? What is actually going on right now, and what is the reality of it? We can get a bad diagnosis from a doctor, and if sometimes we can just stick our fingers in our ears and cover our eyes, and we don't want to hear, and we don't want to see, and we're just going to ignore it. Or we know something's going on that is going to result in that bad diagnosis possibly, and we just ignore it. But reality is we need to deal with it. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, look at the reality of it. First reality being you've got a God that is greater than anything you're going to go through, anything you're going to suffer with, and He is in charge of all of it. But what is happening? What is this situation? The second thing there is, what is my first priority? First priority for all of us is going to be to glorify God through it. And that is very easy to say and very hard to do. When you're going through certain things, think about this church. As they were scattered from their homes out of Jerusalem, they went on their way preaching the word. Somebody helped them, I'm sure, but as they went, they looked at this and said, well, you know, we may be being scattered, but that doesn't mean we're not Christians. And they told people about Jesus everywhere they were going. Somebody said one time that Satan tried to stomp out the fire of the gospel there in Jerusalem, but when he did, he spread the embers of that fire all over the world. And God didn't want the church to stay in Jerusalem. He wanted them to go. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, but then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And because of this persecution, they scattered, and they served, and they preached, and they loved, and they did everything the church was supposed to be doing, and the gospel spread, so that many times when Paul came into a city, years later, the gospel was already there. And he helped a church that was established there, or he wrote letters to the Roman church and where it was already there. The most important thing is how I'm going to respond. It's going to be honoring God first. And the reality may change how you honor God. Sometimes we get illnesses that knock us down, and we're not able to do the things we know that we need to be doing or want to be doing. Sometimes we'll say something like, well, all I can do now is pray. That's all I'm good for is praying. Do you know that's the best thing that we can ever do for anybody? Is to pray. I was told about a lady, a guy named Daryl King, was teaching a prayer conference. He was out somewhere in Oregon, one of the larger cities there, and he talked about a lady that as he taught this conference, she came, as many churches gathered together, and she would come in, and she was dressed in what looked like homemade clothes. And she, not that she looked bad, but it just looked like homemade clothes. She sat on the front row over here. And whenever he would close out a session, he would pray, and he would look up, and she was gone. She'd headed back out. And so finally, one time, he just came and stood right in front of her. I mean, just like right in front of her. And as he prayed, she still snuck out. And he asked somebody, who is this? I can't talk to her. I can't get to her to talk with her. And they began to tell him this lady was a widow. She'd been widowed early in her life. I don't think she had any children, and she lived up on a mountain that overlooked the city. And this lady spent her life, her day, taking the phone book of that city and going through it and praying for the people's names. Y'all remember phone books that used to be like that? That's what she had back in this time, and she prayed for the churches, and people would give her prayer requests, and she would pray for them. Dr. King said he went up there to see her. They took him to her home, and it was a little small house, not a shack, but a little small place, and the people provided for her. They brought her food and brought her bolts of cloth to make clothes out of and that kind of thing, but somebody had cut a tree down on her property there near her house, and they cut it at an angle, and the stump was there at an angle, and that was her prayer altar when she could be outside. And she laid her Bible and her prayer list on that stump, and she knelt down there and prayed. And she prayed all day, every day, while she was doing her chores, while she was, instead of watching TV and those kind of things, she prayed and prayed and prayed. And the churches in that city had no idea why they were doing as well as they were doing. But this lady was up there praying for them. Whatever situation we are in, God will use us. He's not finished with us, and we can honor Him. But the last thing I want you to see, or last question I want you to ask is, can I see what God is doing? Can I look at this situation now, whatever I'm going through, and see what God is doing in it? And it's very legitimate for you to look at it and say, no, I can't see a thing of what God is doing. And if you are in that situation, the answer there is, if no, keep doing what you know to do. Keep praying. Keep talking to people about Christ. You may be laid up in a hospital, but you've got nurses that are kind of, you're laying in the bed, but they've got to come in there and check on you so you can talk with them about Christ. You can talk with people at work. You can do whatever, wherever you're at, you can talk with people about Jesus. Do what you know to do. I told a guy when I worked at Tucker Door, they hired a guy to take over the role I had. The line I was on was building single doors, and I would put the brick mold on as they came down. And they would come down in a rush, and then it would be a lull, and you had some time to get ready. And this young guy, they hired him and put me over building the bigger doors. And I told him, when you get a break, cut up the brick mold and the links you need and have it stacked there and ready to go. And if you don't have anything else to do, just sweep up around you. I looked over one day, and this guy was just walking around his thing with a broom and just sweeping. He's going to sweep a hole in the concrete. But he was doing something. When we don't know what else to do, do the thing you know to do. But if you see what God is doing, join Him in His work. Philip went to this city. He preached. People were listening to him. I've been in churches where people didn't listen to me. They were looking at their watch and wanting to know when this thing was going to be over. And I preach longer now than I did then. I guess I was trying to let everybody get out. But when they were listening to him, so he kept preaching. And they kept seeing God at work, miracles taking place. He joined God in his work. And it says there, the last thing, and I don't know that I didn't put it on the screen, but verse 8 in chapter 8 of Acts says, so there was great joy in that city. When you see what God is doing, you can join Him in that work. You just simply be a part of it. And there will be great joy around you. You can count it all, consider it all joy when you encounter these various trials, because you see that Satan, that God is building endurance in you, that God is filling in the empty spots in you, and that Satan can't win. That causes joy. That is a great joy. And so today I want to ask you, just in the way you respond, what are you going through today that maybe you need to just sit back and consider? Maybe you need to come and when you consider something, talk with God about it and talk with godly people about it. That'll help you more than anything. But as you're going through this, maybe today you need to come and pray and just give this over to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I'm at a loss, but I'm yours. Show me what to do in this situation. It may be that, may not be about you. It may be somebody you love and you're praying for them. Come do that today. God will show you what to do and how to do that. Maybe that you need to know Christ as your Savior. You're looking at your life and you say, I've never had that kind of help in anything. I don't know Jesus. But if you trust Him, if you'll ask Him to save you today, if you believe what Jesus did on the cross, paid the price for your sin, so you can have a relationship with God, you ask Him to save you today, you will be saved immediately. And you begin that relationship and you have all that we've talked about. It'll mature, it'll grow. But in the Spirit of God that will come and live inside of you, you have everything that God has to offer to you. And you can't lose it. Whatever it is, maybe you need to come and join the church. Maybe you need to step into a ministry. We've talked about we need some help in the nursery. We always need help in the nursery. I think we will always need help in the nursery. Maybe you want to get out in the community and learn to tell people about Jesus. We're building these teams to be able to do that. Or you want to be where you can just call somebody and talk with them about the church and invite them and just love on them a minute, see how we can pray for them. You can be a part of that. If God's leading you into something, there are places to jump in and get involved. But you be obedient to Christ in whatever He's telling you to do. In the trouble you're going through, whatever it is, trust Him. And you'll be amazed at what He does. So if y'all would stand with me as we begin to sing in just a moment. If you need to talk with me, come down the aisle, talk with me. If you want to come pray at the altar, please do that. Whatever it is God's leading you to do. But let's go to Him in prayer and then we'll sing. Father, You're our God. You love us. And You're our Father. And there's never a time that You don't know where we are and what we're going through. And there's never a time that we can't trust You. So Father, right now I pray that we'll all simply trust You with what You've given us to do, with the place You've put us. And we'll see that joy come from it, Lord. Help us to be obedient right now. In Your name we pray. Amen.